Hello, everybody. Good morning. If you could turn with me, open up your Bibles, turn with me to Jonah. Jonah, and we're going to do chapter 1. I'll just open up first. Jesus, we give thanks and praise for this time, Lord. Would you speak to us through your word, bring forth revelation, bring clarity, Lord, and conviction to our hearts. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to read from Jonah, chapter 1. We're going to read the whole thing. All right. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep. So the captain approached them and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men became extremely frightened, and they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" For the sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon us." However, the men rowed desperately to return to land, but they could not, for the sea was becoming even stormier against them. Then they called on the Lord and said, "We earnestly pray, O Lord, do not let us perish on account of this man's life, and do not put innocent blood on us. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen. So Jonah is probably one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, not just among Christians, non-Christians as well. It's that story, or this circumstance and story, being swallowed by a large fish or whale. It's also, if you're a little older, you would know it's also used in the movie Pinocchio. Do you guys know that? Okay. Yeah. So very well-known story. And so in this story, it starts with God calling Jonah to go to Nineveh. Okay? So at this time, Nineveh was the largest city in the world. And it was a large city in Assyria. And in Nahum chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, it describes what Nineveh was like. Okay? And maybe then you get a little bit more insight of why he fled. Sorry. So in Nahum chapter 3, it says, "Woe to the bloody city, completely full of lies and pillage. Her prey never departs. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses and bounding chariots, horsemen charging, swords flashing, spears gleaming, many slain, a mass of corpses and countless dead bodies. They stumble over the dead bodies, all because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. Yeah. So, based on the description in Nahum, Nineveh was a very ruthless city, and they were basically bent on world conquest. They wanted to take over the world. And they were enemies of the Jews, okay? And then in verse 3, so this is where he's being called to go, right? And in verse 3, what does Jonah do as the word, the audible voice, I imagine, came upon him, called him out to go out? Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. So Tarshish is literally the opposite, right? I imagine if we were to use Hong Kong as example, if God called us to go to Australia, then we would go to Canada, right? Total opposites. So Tarshish is it's the opposite side of the world. And that's why he's going there. But the question, the big question, and which kind of addresses what Jonah is about, is why did he flee? Why did Jonah flee? Right? And I think for most of us, just our general impression is, because most people in the Bible, when they're disobedient, it's because they're scared, they're insecure, I don't know if I can do it, right? So why did he flee? And this will give us insight of what Jonah, this book is about a little bit. So, spoiler, this is why he flees. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, this is what he prays to the Lord. He says, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." So let me just explain what that means. So the reason he didn't go was not because he was scared. It wasn't because he was insecure. It's because this sounds weird, but it's because he knew exactly who God was. He had so much faith in God. And he knew, basically, the equivalent, this is feeling towards Nineveh. It would be like in World War II, right? Germany, Nazi Germany, and the Jews, they're at war, or the world is at war, but they're enemies, right? And it'd be like telling someone, American Jew in the United States, and you're telling them, why don't you go to Germany and basically speak to them, and then they'll be repentant and saved, right? You'd be like, no way! They deserve death, right? And that's kind of the heart of Jonah. He hated the Assyrians, and that's why he turned to flee. But even the way he goes about things is kind of interesting, okay? So if we keep going, in verse 3, he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. One notable thing in his process is he's still a good guy, right? Notice it says he paid the fare. So even though he's in complete disobedience to his call, he's still a good guy, right? I imagine he's like, hey, I like to get on a ship to Tarshish, How much is the fare? He pays the fare. Thank you very much. Like, still a good, not a Christian, but I'm just going to use this word, right? Because obviously he's not a Christ follower, but you understand what I mean. Still a good Christian guy, right? But this is what happens on the ship. Basically, a crazy storm comes. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea. The Lord brought the storm. And maybe, I don't know if you've connected this, but it's very similar to the story in Matthew where Jesus is on the boat, the storm comes. Very similar. Except in that story with Jesus, the Lord basically brings calm. There was a crazy storm. But in this case, he actually brought the storm. And whether we like it or not, I know we don't like to think this about God, but that sometimes happens, right? And it kind of can bring fear. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Bob Sorge, he shared about chastening, right? And that's where he disciplines those who he loves. And I think that's what we need to remember, right? Yes, God can bring the storm, but it's in love, right? And notice in this circumstance, Jonah is acting in disobedience. And then just, so Jonah is, they say he's a Christ-like figure because he foreshadows what Jesus for the coming of Jesus. So that's why there's so many parallels, right? So Jonah, just like Jesus, he goes down to the ship, right? A crazy storm is happening. And with Jesus, he's fast asleep, totally oblivious to the storm. Jonah, fast asleep, totally oblivious to the storm. So already is like, hey, but it's, you know, the circumstances are the same, but definitely something is different, right? Because with Jesus, when he is in that storm, what do we say about him? He's like, oh, he's just so secure. He's so in peace. He knows that he's in perfect sync and aligned with the Father, that, wow, he would fall asleep in the crazy circumstances. In the midst of the craziness of life, he has perfect peace, right? That's what we say about that. But with Jonah, same thing, but I wouldn't say he has perfect peace, right? What kind of sleep is he having? I think the type of sleep he's having is the type, like, maybe you guys probably, we've all gone through this, right? Is that sleep where you're trying to escape, right? Have you ever been like, escape? Maybe exams are really stressful, or work, you have these things you're procrastinating and you're depressed. What do you do in that moment? All you do is want to sleep, right? You just want to sleep. You just want to, even after you wake up, you're still tired, right? And I think that's the difference between the sleeps. In Jonah's case, well, I don't know what happens, how he feels when he wakes up. But when I'm in that point, when I wake up from that type of sleep, I'm actually still tired. I wake up and I just want to, basically the reason I wake up is because I'm hungry and I have to go to the bathroom. And then usually I eat, go to the bathroom, and then I might even go back to sleep, right? I just think of, yeah. So very similar circumstances, but very different things happening. And so the captain, while he's down there, the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Call on your God." It's like, I don't know, it's just funny that he's trying to escape from God. He's going to the other side of the world, just wanting to get away, and yet this captain goes to him and says, "Call your God," right? It's like, there's just, he's trying to get away, but he can't. In Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10, it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. So God's presence is with you no matter what. Usually this brings comfort to us, right? When we're like struggling, when we're hurting, and then we say, oh God, you'll never leave me. That's your promise. But when we want to run away, when we don't want to face the reality or circumstances, that's where we try to push God to the back of our minds, watch television, Instagram, Korean dramas, video games, right? We escape to those things, but you can't escape from God, right? God's presence is with you during the good times, during the needy times, but he's always also with you during the bad times. And so I'm just going to fast forward a little. And so all this stuff is happening, and the captain and the crew, they cast lots. They're trying to do everything in their power to figure out what is up. They're throwing cargo off because it makes the boat lighter. And that's kind of an illustration. Oh, first thing you do when things go crazy is you just, you know, use your intellect, rely on your strength. Throw. Get it. Finally, they're like, okay, we got to figure out who it is. They cast lots. It points to Jonah. And they say to him, tell us now, on whose account has this calamity struck us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What people are you? It's funny. It's like, I imagine he didn't answer that, but it's like, what is your occupation? And he would have said, I'm a prophet, right? But it's interesting. This is how he answers. He says, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. What an amazing answer, right? And this continues with Jonah. He's a good guy, right? He pays his fare. These pagans, they ask, who are you? And he says this statement that glorifies God. Complete disobedience he is in. But, right, this is to say, he definitely has the head knowledge. Right, he has that head knowledge. So he can say this. And of course, they're like, what? Like, they say to him, what? This is who you are. How can you still be on this boat? What should we do? And of course, Jonah, good guy. Such a good guy. Throw me off the boat. Right? This sounds weird. I almost think of Pastor Nate. Right, if he ever was like really disobedient and was like called to go somewhere, I feel like he'd still like pay his fare. God is good. Sacrifice me, right? So Jonah is, all to say, a good guy. I don't know why I say good guy. I think it's that song. And they don't want to, because they're like, oh, like it's actually these sailors are pretty amazing. Their response is, oh, you want us to throw you over? And they kind of don't want to because they know he's like a man of God. They don't want innocent blood on his hands. But eventually the storm gets too crazy and he does it anyway. They do it and then, right? And similar to with Jesus. Jesus, when he was calm the sea, right? The response of the disciples was like, oh my gosh, you are the real and living God, right? And in the same way, this is the response of the sailors. In verse 15, so they picked up Jonah, threw him in the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. Okay, and then get swallowed. But all to say, they made vows to follow the Lord from that. So, okay, I'd like to invite Andrew to lead us. And I just want to highlight the parallels of Jonah on the boat and Jesus on the boat, right? All to say, the circumstances in which you go about life, the things you do can seem good and holy, but end of the day is what's going on in the inside, right? And what's going on in the inside, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, as it's kind of talking about Jonah's obedience, right? We always say, be faithful in the little things, right? Be faithful in the little things. In this case, Jonah is faithful in the little things, but he's not so faithful in the big thing, right? All to say, the point is, it's just either you're faithful or not. Either you're 100% faithful or not. Either you're in complete obedience or not. So I want to give you an opportunity. This, I mean, again, this is just between you and God, right? I mean, based on this, the boat, the storm, the circumstances look so identical. But only God knows what's going on in your heart. Are you completely obedient the way you, not just what you do, but even how you go about it? Are you doing it unto the Lord, or are you doing it for yourself, your convenience? So let's take this time to really just look into our hearts. Is there anything in our lives that we are in disobedience, that we are resisting of the Lord? Because when that happens, just like Jonah, he feels like, hey, these little things that I do will make up for this disobedience, right? It's like he's earning his way back. There's no earning. We don't need to do that, but we need to obey, right? We need to do just what the Father tells us to do. mean, in the story of Jonah, even it really talks, it seems like it really talks and focuses on Jonah's disobedience. I think the focus is really on God, right? And that God, the way he sees Nineveh, but also the way he keeps pursuing Jonah regardless, basically. And that's the heart of a father, right? He chastens those he loves. And even yesterday, I took my daughter swimming. But before that, we had quite an ordeal because, well, first she wanted to take a purse with her. But that was, I kind of relented with that. But she wanted to bring stickers to go swimming, which makes no sense. I was like, Danielle, we are not taking, if you know, if you take a child swimming, you know you got to bring so much stuff, it's overwhelming. So I said, no, Danielle, we are not taking stickers. Either, basically, if you want to take the stick, if you want to keep the stickers, you're staying home, right? And for 45 minutes, she's like, no. Like, I don't want to. No, I want to bring stickers. I kept trying to make her like, all right, do you want to go swimming or do you want stickers? What? And throughout the whole time, I do all these things. I like go into another room. I'm like, okay, when you're ready to like go swimming and not bring your stickers, Appa will be in the other room. But you know, even though she's having this crazy tantrum, literally like every 10 seconds I'm in another room, I'll like go out, peek. It's like, is she okay? Is she ready to give up stickers, right? Because because for me, I really want to go swimming with her. But at the same time, I mean, I know it seems kind of extreme, but like I just didn't, I was like, okay, this is like a teachable moment. If I give in to this, like where she feels like she wants to bring stickers, and I'm trying to be a good parent, like, Danielle, why do you want to bring stickers swimming? Because I want to, right? It's like, okay. And eventually she relented. But my point is, just as the earthly father, I love my children, my daughter so much. Even when they're going crazy, I'm always peeking in at them, making sure they're okay. I want them to make that right choice, right? And that's the heart that God has for us too. Even when he chastens us, even when he disciplines us, in this case with Jonah, even when he brings that storm into his life, literal storm on the boat, it's out of love, right? It's out of love that he's calling Jonah back into obedience. So I just want to take a second to let the love of God, that presence that he offers you that will never leave you, to just bring you comfort. And maybe there's something in your life that you don't understand, that you feel like he's chastening you, punishing you. But I want to let the Holy Spirit confirm in you that he's loving on you. Let's turn to our community prayers. Let's cover those who are suffering from cancer, going through chemo or radiation therapy. Let's continue to contend for our friends. Let's pray for a full healing. Let's pray for strength as well. So let's also pray for our friends who are suffering from any illness but are also in need of salvation. Let's pray that God would heal, but that the healing would bring conviction, just like the sailors when they witnessed that miracle, that they would dedicate themselves, receive eternal life. Let's pray that, you know, the people, as they get healed, as they're surrounded by people who would share the gospel with them boldly, that they would also receive their salvation. Cover our community who is suffering from infirmities, for God's just full healing in their lives, for encouragement and faith that God would heal. Let's cover those who are looking for jobs, pray for encouragement, pray against hopelessness or listlessness, and pray for God to really come and open up doors and also speak to them and confirm in them the job that He has for them. Go to our Tuesday prayer focuses. Let's first cover Hong Kong. Let's cover the government. Let's pray for government, Wells Gap, revival, churches, our ministry, sports services, international, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Christian Solidarity, Worldwide, Mother's Choice, Hong Kong Korean Church, our Hong Kong students, domestic helpers, and families in distress and their children. Let's cover the staff, P. Sam, P. Nate, Pastor Salamat, Pastor Ricky, myself, Pastor Mary, P. Andrew, Tim, Monica, Ash, Yiling, Janella, Rachel, Cadence, Ben, Leanne, and Tony. If you would cover us, that we would do our best to serve the church, to serve the community, and for our staff meeting today. pray for our hospitality ministries, welcoming led by P. Andrew and pray for the worship, sound, and AV team, that we would have a heart of worship, a heart to continually improve ourselves as well, to be excellent, to offer our best to the Lord. Pray for the house churches today who are meeting: First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, OPR, Soho, Westville. Pray that they would have a great time, experience God through their worship, discussion, and community. Pray that that message from Sunday from Pastor Eric Lehman, Born to Fly, would really inspire, and as a house church, they would even go deeper with it. Lastly, let's cover our SP annual retreat. Let's cover our church, that there would be no hiccups, no expired or missing visas or the motherland card. Pray for people's health, their work schedule. You can also cover the staff that is preparing for it. Let's continue to cover the bus logistics as well. Jesus, you are the only true constant in our life, Lord. You're the only true constant. And so we want to put our hope, we want to build our life around you, God, and not only run to you when things are going awry, but we would go to you always, Lord. And we just receive that comfort, Lord, during the good times, the bad times, during our rebellious times, Lord, that you are always with us. You are always pursuing us, Lord. Being a father, watching over us, God. We thank you, Lord. And I pray that that comfort, that security, Lord, would really just give us boldness and freedom this week to abide in you, to follow you, to obey you, Lord, that we would fix our eyes on you, Lord, that we would not go about life, that our motivation, our reason would not be the things of this world to attain achievement or glory for ourselves, Lord, but we do it for you, Lord. We would do it all for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Just be with us, Lord. And Lord, I just bless everyone's spirit here today. Bless their spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that they would be led by you, Holy Spirit, to know who they are. Led to know how you feel about them. And led in every action today, Lord, as they go about their day, fulfilling the call that you have for them. I thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, everybody.